Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, entitled The Character of Bharat Maharaj. Text number 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So that as there in this verse there isn't a meter, so we'll just go to the word for word responsibly. Anyada, sometimes. Not seeing the calf. Brisham, very much. Udvignamanaha, his mind full of anxiety. Nashtadravinaha, who has lost his riches. Eva, like. Kripanaha, a miserly man. Sakurunam, piteously. Atitarshena, with great anxiety. Harinakunaka, from the calf of the deer. Viraha, by separation. Vivala, agitated. Vidaya, in the mind or heart. Santapaha, whose affliction. Tam, that calf. Eva, only. Anusochan, continuously thinking of. Kila, certainly. Kashmalam, illusion. Mahat, very great. Abhirambitaha, obtained. Iti, thus. Ha, certainly. Uvacha, said. If Bharat Maharaj sometimes could not see the deer, his mind would be very agitated. He would become like a miser who, having obtained some riches, had lost them and had then become very unhappy. When the deer was gone, he would be filled with anxiety and would lament due to separation. Thus he would become illusioned and speak as follows. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. If a poor man loses some money or gold, he becomes very agitated. Similarly, the mind of Maharaj Bharat would become agitated when he did not see the deer. This is an example of how our attachment can be transferred. If our attachment is transferred to the Lord's service, we progress. Srila Rupa Goswami prayed to the Lord that he would be as naturally attracted to the Lord's service as young men and young women are naturally attracted to each other. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited such attachment to the Lord when he jumped into the ocean or cried at night in separation. However, if our attachment is diverted to material things instead of to the Lord, we will fall down from the spiritual platform. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Minitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
mukam karoti vachalam pankum langayate girim yat kripa taraham bande shri guru dinataranam paramananda marvam shri chaitanyeshwaram.
So we see here from this part of the Bhagavatam how an advanced devotee on the level of a very high level of devotional service, like bhava. So there's ado shraddha, bhajanakrita, anarta nivritasya, nishta, different levels of devotional service, ruchi, right? And above ruchi, one develops some, after having developed some taste, one has a feeling for Krishna and a feeling for devotional service, a bhava. Right? So Maharaj Bharat was on a very elevated level of devotional service. But yet we see that his attachment became diverted to this deer. Right? So the example is given about a poor man. If a poor man gets some gold, right, he becomes very attached to it. And if he loses that gold, then he becomes agitated. He's always thinking about, you know, that gold. Who stole it? How did I lose it? Right? Maybe he invested that with somebody to keep it for him, and then that person cheated him and took it away. And so many things. People put their money in the stock market, and the share prices go way up, and then there's a fall in the share prices, and they lose everything. Right? So they're always meditating on that. So in the same way, comparing that kind of a mentality, the mind of Bharat Maharaj would always become agitated if he didn't see the deer. Due to that attachment, he would be thinking that, oh, what happened to the deer? It shouldn't have gotten attacked by a tiger or some wild animal. And because he was thinking in that way, his devotional practices became laxed. Right? So it works both ways. If one becomes attracted by devotional service, then one will become attracted by the form, by the name, by the pastimes of Krishna. And one's attachment to the material world will become slackened. Right? So someone comes to devotional service and begins the process of chanting, associating with devotees, hearing Hari Katha. So that attraction for Krishna begins to take place. However, if one is not attentive, if one again becomes, one's attention becomes diverted to something else, then one can be, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, we fall down from the spiritual platform. So what is the spiritual platform? What does it mean to be spiritual? Well, the definition Srila Prabhupada gives for us to easily understand is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at least 16 rounds and the four regulative principles. If we're doing at least that, then we're spiritual. Okay? We're on the Brahma Bhuta. Brahma Bhuta Prasantatma Nasochiti Nakanshiti. so, if we find ourselves, if we find that our attention is being diverted to something else, whatever it may be, there's so many diversions that are there in the material world, especially in this so-called modern society. So if we find ourselves being diverted, then we have to go back to see if we're doing the basics properly, right? Whether we're chanting 16 rounds, whether we're chanting 16 rounds nicely. Huh? If one is not chanting a minimum of 16 rounds, then there's no question of being spiritual. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that of many devotees, thousands of devotees who take a vow of initiation, right? And at initiation we promise before the spiritual master, before the deity, and before the fire that we will chant 16 rounds minimum and follow the regulator principles. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that out of many devotees who are initiated, only a few will continue to keep this promise. And so I read this for the first time in around 1975 when the Chaitanya Charitamrita first was published. And Prabhupada was publishing volume by volume. So I was thinking at that time, well, how is that possible? How is that possible? The devotees I got initiated with, they were all still there. And they were chanting. And then I was from St. Louis. And I know that there was about 100 devotees in Chicago Temple. And they were all chanting. Like that, I was thinking. The kind of, frog in the well kind of looking at it. But see, Srila Prabhupada sees things trikalagya. He knows past, present, future. He knows the future. And he could see. And as time went on, I could also see that those devotees that had taken the vow of chanting, they stopped chanting. And you couldn't find them anymore, and they weren't in the association of devotees. Right? So, manushanam sahasreshu kaschid gasati siddhaye. Out of many thousands, one will endeavor for perfection. Right? So, we're in the endeavoring stage of devotional service, sadhana bhakti. And this particular instruction is very important for us, this pastime of Bharat Maharaj. It just shows that we can, at any time our attention can be diverted to something else, to some non-devotional thing. And there are many. Right? What is the goal? What is the goal? If we don't keep the goal fixed in our minds, then diversion will come. Prema pumarta mahang. The goal of this human form of life is to develop love of God. Love of God. Right? Nothing else. Pure devotional service. Shri Radha Rasmi Hari Gonita Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Now, pure devotional service is a very vast topic. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami in Allahabad, in the Deshashvamedha Ghat, right? He instructed Rupa Goswami. And he told him that devotional service is just like an ocean. But I'm giving a few drops to you just so that you can relish what it's about. Devotional service. pure devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan and he was visiting the 12 forests. He had his two Bengali assistants with him and one Brahmin and one Rajput was also there. So they were traveling in Vrindavan. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was becoming more and more ecstatic being in Vrindavan. So these four devotees discussed amongst themselves and they said, maybe it's better if we take Mahaprabhu out of Vrindavan. Right? Now is the Magh Mela in Allahabad and we can take him there. So they discussed with Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu said, okay, as you like, we can go. So they started on the journey. And as they were going, one cowherdsman, he blew a buffalo horn. Ooh. I don't know exactly what a buffalo horn sounds like, but somebody blew one. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on hearing that, he went into ecstasy and he fainted. Right? Believe it or not, there were buffaloes. Krishna used to tend buffaloes too. They had buffaloes. And he and Balaram both had buffalo horns. And they used to blow them. And the persons, the cowherdsmen who took care of buffaloes, they were known as Ghoshes. Ghosh, that title, still there in Bengal. Ghosh, Mayapur, the Ghoshes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell into ecstasy and fainted, and just then some Patan soldiers came. And the leader of those soldiers said, hey, just see here, this sannyasi must have some gold. And these four must have given him poison to steal that gold. Right? So we should punish them. So it's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the two Bengali devotees, they became very afraid immediately. They were shivering. Right? Because now they were going to be killed by the soldiers. But the Rajput, he was a little more fearless. And he challenged the soldiers. He said, no, we are traveling with the sannyasi. It's not like that. And you should know that I have friendship with the king. And not very far from here, I have 10 or 15 soldiers that are with us also. So then the soldiers became a little cautious now. And just at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, awoken from his ecstasy, right? And when he awoke, he saw the situation. And he knew everything. And he said to the soldiers, you see, I suffer from epileptic fits. And sometimes I have a fit. And these persons are so kind that they take care of me. So when the soldiers saw the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they immediately became attracted. They became so attracted. And by their attraction to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they fell at his feet and offered obeisances, these Patan soldiers. Right? And then the next thing you know, they were chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his causeless mercy, he delivered them. So they went on their way, right? And they came to Allahabad. And at that time, they met Balabhacharya. And Balabhacharya, he is the founder of the Pushti Marg. And in the Pushti Marg, there are also Vaishnavs. And they worship Srinathji in Nathdwara. Who's the deity of? The Gopal deity is the deity of? Madhavendra Puri. Of course, they don't say like that, but we say like that. We know that that deity originally was installed by Madhavendapuri. But Vallabhacharya, when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he invited Mahaprabhu to his house. So Mahaprabhu agreed that he would go, and they'll talk about Krishna. So the house of Vallabhacharya is in Arail, or was in Arail, which is across the Jamuna from the Sangam in Prayag or Allahabad. Right? In Allahabad, the Ganga and the Jamuna come together and then they flow on. Right? So across the Jamuna is a town called Arail, and that's where Vallabhacharya was staying. And even to this day, there's a place where his house is. You can go there. Right? When we were at Kumbh Mela, we took a boat across the Jamuna and we went and visited that place. So Vallabhacharya put Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a boat with the other devotees, and they were going across the Jamuna. And when they got out in the middle of the Jamuna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the waters of the Jamuna, he became very ecstatic. And he began swaying back and forth, and the boat began to rock. And then he fell into the Jamuna. And with great difficulty, they got him back into the boat. So they got to the other side. They went to the house of Vallabhacharya. Vallabhacharya called his family members. He had two sons, one called Vittal and Gopinath. Vittaleshwar and Gopinath. So they washed the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then Vallabhacharya had the members of his family sprinkle the water on their head. They drank the water. And at that time, Vallabhacharya requested the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to please cook for Mahaprabhu so that he could have his lunch. So along came a devotee named Raghupati Upadhyaya to the house of Vallabhacharya. At that time, Rupa Goswami and Anupam had also joined the party of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this Raghupati Upadhyaya began to exchange discussion about Lord Krishna. And Raghupati Upadhyaya said that as far as others concerned, they may worship the all-pervading Brahman, our Paramatma, that's all right. But as far as I'm concerned, I worship Nanda Maharaj because in his backyard, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is playing as a child. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very enlivened by speaking with this devotee, Raghupati Upadhyaya. And those shlokas that Raghupati Upadhyaya mentioned to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, later on Srila Rupa Goswami included them in a book called the Padyavali. Those verses are there. But anyway, after some time they went back to Prayag, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to have darshan of Veni Madhava. And after that he began to instruct Srila Rupa Goswami in the science of devotional service. So this meeting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Rupa Goswami is very important for us, because those instructions that Rupa Goswami gave are received from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were the source of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or the science of devotional service. And it coincides also with this verse about diverting one's attachment. And so I thought I would go over some of those instructions that Rupa Goswami received from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Deshashvamedha Ghat. with your kind permission. Is that okay? Okay. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Rupa, please listen to me. It is not possible to describe devotional service completely. Therefore, I'm just trying to give you a synopsis of the symptoms of devotional service. The ocean of transcendental mellows of devotional service is so big that no one can estimate its length and breadth. However, just to help you taste it, I am describing but one drop. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on to explain that there's, you know, limitless living entities in the universe, right? And that they're in the 8,400,000 different species, the living entities. There are so many. So he starts out talking about the living entity to Rupa Goswami. And then he talks about how, what is the nature of the living entity. And he quotes one shloka. The length and breadth of the living entity is described as 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. This is the original subtle nature of the living entity. So in other words, he describes that the living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. Mamaya vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. That the Supreme Lord is eternal and the living entity is also eternal. The living entity are many and the Lord is one. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. The singular eternal, nitya, supplies all the necessities of the plural eternal, nityana. So, the Lord describes that the living entities are in two divisions. Those living entities that move and those living entities that cannot move. And among the living entities that move are the birds, the fish, animals. Those that don't are the trees, the plants. They can't move, right? They're in fixed place. So after he describes the nature of living entities, then he comes to the point that there are human beings. And among the human beings, there are some who follow the Vedic literature, and there are some who don't. And then of those who follow the Vedic knowledge, most are engaged in following it for some fruitive activity, distinguishing something as pious and something as impious, right? And out of these, those who follow the Vedic literatures, one out of many, many millions, one may be actually trying to obtain liberation. And out of those who are endeavoring for liberation, we may find just a few who are pure devotees of the Lord. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins to describe what is a pure devotee, right? And he says this verse. This is a very famous verse. We hear it quoted many times by Srila Prabhupada when he's giving lectures, right? And it describes the nature of pure devotees, okay? And those who are not pure devotees. Krishna bhakta nishkama ateva shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami sokali ashanta. Because a devotee of Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. Fruit of workers, desire material enjoyment, jnanis desire liberation, and yogis desire material opulence. Therefore, they are all lusty and cannot be peaceful. So the devotees of the Lord, they're desireless. Desireless means they only desire, not that they have no desires, The symptom of the living entity is that they have desires. But desireless means to only desire the satisfaction of Krishna. That's real desirelessness. Right? Fruit of work is bhuktis. Bhuktis, they desire some material enjoyment. They want to work hard, get some money, and enjoy that. The fruit of their result. Bhuktis. So they're not happy. After some many births, they may come to the platform of realizing that this program of trying to get happiness through material enjoyment is not working out. So maybe I should try to get liberated from this idea. And that's the mukti, right? Mukti, muktis. So the muktis, they also want something. They want to become free from suffering. You know, they want to become free from the futile attempt at becoming happy in this material world. But they want, they're also desiring something. The muktis. And the siddhis, right? What are the siddhis? They're desiring some perfection, some yogic perfection, to be able to do something wonderful, like be able to control people's thoughts, right? That's a yogis. They have that ability, right? So they're also desiring something. Only devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord, he can be really desireless. And when he's, and because he's desiring everything for the satisfaction of Krishna, he's peaceful. If somebody's not peaceful, if somebody's agitated, right? Why are they agitated? Because they fit in the other three categories. They want some, right? Bhukti or mukti or siddhi, right? They're not getting it, therefore they're frustrated, right? Moroseness comes about because Maya attacks us and diverts our attention away from Krishna. Otherwise, one can immediately become Krishna conscious. There's only two positions, right? Just like Srila Prabhupada mentions, you're either in the light or you're in the shadow. There's nowhere in between. You're Krishna conscious or you're not. Right? If we're morose, if we're unhappy, we may think it's because of this person or this situation or that situation. I'm not getting something, therefore I'm unhappy. Someone is, you know, chugli karte hai, mujhe. Therefore I'm not happy. Right? No, that's not it. As soon as you point the finger this way, it's this one or that one, you have three fingers at least pointing back at you. Us. I'm the problem. No one else is the problem. I'm my own problem. Why am I my own problem? Because I'm not Krishna conscious. It's as simple as that. All problems solved. Right? You want to become Shanti? Right? Be Krishna conscious. No, no, but, you know, you don't understand. This person's really envious of me. Mere piche ho gaya. Aise hai. Upadmash hai. No, that's not the point. We're missing the point. Right in the beginning of the introduction of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Prabhupada explains that many times we're missing the point. We're missing the point. And Maya is so expert that she diverts our attention to many other things that we think, oh, are so very important. Just so that we miss the point. And what's the point? Premo Pumarta Mahan. I should develop love of God. I should have love for Krishna. So, this instruction Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving to Srila Rupa Goswami. And then he mentions a very important verse that Shukadeva Goswami says to Maharaj Parikshit in description of King Chitraketu. Because Parikshit Maharaj had heard the pastime of how Vritrasur was killed by Indra. And, you know, he was supposed to be a demon. It actually turned out that he was a great devotee. So Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know, how is it that such a good devotee was in this role of being a demon and had been killed by Indra? So then Shukadeva Goswami explained about the pastime of King Chitraketu. And he mentions this verse to Maharaj Parikshit. Muktanam apisidhanam narayana parayanah sudurlabha prashantatma kotishvapi mahamune. O great sage, out of many millions of materially liberated people who are free from ignorance, and out of many millions of siddhas who have nearly attained perfection, there is hardly one pure devotee of Narayana. Only such a devotee is actually completely satisfied and peaceful. So pure devotional service in the purport Srila Prabhupada describes as anyabhilashita shunyam jnananivikarmadi yanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shivanam bhakta uktamam. For a person who desires nothing else, only to serve Krishna, only to satisfy Krishna, such a person is in pure devotional service. Without any desire for some profit, gross profit means to get some bakshish, right? Sometimes we see devotees go to the program, the house program. They're invited to a house program. Well, that's very nice. Go there, chant Hare Krishna. They cook something. They share prasadam, dadati pratigrihnati. We give transcendental knowledge, the holy name. It's a very nice program, right? And sometimes some householders, they want to give some dakshin, some little bakshish to the devotees. Right? Okay. Dadati pratigrihnati. But then the mind becomes very calculative. And the mind begins to think, well, they're calling me for that house program, but I know that householder doesn't give anything, so I won't go there. Whereas that householder, when they call, they give some packet, right? So I'll go there. See how cunning the mind is? Missing the point. We're going to give Krishna katha. And the mind tricks us to think we're going to get some dakshi. Finished. No peacefulness. No happiness. Missing the point. Completely missing the point. So Maya, she's so expert. Even something as, you know, nice as doing Hari Katha, right? Nothing as good as that. Doing prachar, right? It can become finished. Completely off the point. It becomes a negative instead of a positive. Just like Bharat Maharaj, he was doing everything right, but he missed the point. He became slack in his devotional activities. He became more attracted to the deer. Right? So, what does Srila Prabhupada say about devotional service? It's just like a razor's edge. I remember Sridhar Swami, he brought from America a one straight razor. You know? Straight razor is? The blade is straight. Right? Just like the barber, they have them, but they cut a regular blade in half and they put it in. Right? So you can get a good quality steel straight razor from America. Sridhar Swami had one like that. So I used to see that and think, wow, how can you shave yourself with this? It looks dangerous, you know. But if you know how to do it, you can get a good shave. But if you're a little inattentive, you can be cut. And blood will flow like anything. So Srila Prabhupada said, devotional service is just like that. Right? Maya is so powerful that she figures out what our attachment is and diverts us. Just like she did for Bharat Maharaj, the deer. It came to the point where he stopped worshipping Shaligram Shila altogether. And we've seen so many instances. Devotees come to the shelter of Radha Rasbihari. They're even doing deity worship, rendering devotional service, right, at the lotus feet of the Lord, right, in the altar. And they become bewildered. They go off and get bewildered by a green card in America, or get married, and no more lotus feet of Radharas Bihari. But such persons, and I've seen them years and years later, and they've gone through so many trials and tribulations, right? Years of trying to satisfy material desires. But they all acknowledge that time when they were most happy is when they were at the feet of Radha Ras Bihari. That's when they were happy. But now that they've gone off in a different direction, it's very difficult to get back. So we should learn from that, that if somehow or another, by the Lord's mercy, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're engaged in devotional service, be very careful to never give it up. Because once you do, it's very difficult to get it back. That's the nature of devotional things. Now, the next verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes is or tells to Srila Rupa Goswami. It's a very, very important verse. Again and again, you'll hear it in the preaching of Srila Prabhupada. All these verses are important. This is really important. Brahmanda Brahmite Kunna Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhaya Bhakti Lata Beach. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. So Krishna consciousness is within the heart of everyone. It's not something that comes externally from outside. It's there. And when one comes in contact with the pure devotee of Krishna and the seed of devotional service is sowed within the heart, then that becomes manifest. The Krishna consciousness that is naturally there, it becomes manifest by sadhana bhakti, by chanting, by worshipping the deity, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by staying in association with devotees. That natural Krishna consciousness becomes manifest. We see in the life of Narada Muni, right? He was the son of a maidservant, right? And by he had the association of some saintly persons that his mother was serving. And by that association, he, by chance, with their permission, had eaten their remnants. And in that way, his Krishna consciousness developed to the point where he became the famous Narada Muni. Right? So that's the power of association with devotees. To have that opportunity to render devotional service, it's if someone has some previous pious credits, right? Or they're simply Bhagyavan. They're very, very fortunate. Extremely fortunate. So, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have that opportunity to make advancement in devotional service, to have association with pure devotees, right? And again, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, 16 rounds, four regulated principles, right? There's Kacha Mango, there's Pukka Mango, right? But still a mango. So we have association with pure devotees, and we can all sit together and hear about Krishna and chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. But we have to be very careful, just like Maharaj Bharat, his attention became diverted. There's every possibility that our attention can also be diverted by so many different other things. And when we get to see the Bhakti Lata Beach, right? That's nice, but sometimes, you know, we have to be careful, because if we're not careful, the Bhakti Lata Beach can turn into some other beach, right? It can turn into the politics beach. It can turn into the social welfare beach, right? It can turn into the karma beach, gyan beach. Karma beach, gyan beach, right? Kutinata beach, politics beach, right? So the process of hearing and chanting works as a water for the Bhakti Lata beach. It makes it grow and thrive. The Bhakti Lata beach is so powerful that when the plant begins to grow, it goes right out of this material universe. It penetrates the coverings, earth, water, fire, sky. It goes through the thickest coverings. The thickest coverings are ahankara and buddhi and false ego, mind, man, ahankara and intelligence. It penetrates that. It goes right to the river that separates the spiritual world from the material world, called the Viraja River. And it crosses over that. It goes through all the Vaikuntha planets. It can reach, by the watering process, all the way to Krishna Loka. And in Krishna Loka, it comes to rest at the lotus feet of Krishna. And once the bhakti creeper reaches the lotus feet of Krishna, it develops wonderful fruits. Wonderful fruits that can be enjoyed by the devotee. But we have to be careful. Because along with the creeper, just like in any garden, if you have some nice vegetables or some fruits growing, okay? If there may be weeds also that grow, and those weeds can choke out the plants that you want, right? And the thing about weeds is the weeds grow faster than plants. You ever notice that? You ever had a garden? In Bombay it's a little difficult. There's not much land around, but in America we used to have a garden. And you have to pull up the weeds. If you don't pull up the weeds, they grow faster than the plants and they'll choke out the plants completely. Right? So you have to weed the garden. In the same way, along with the creeper of devotional service, other things grow. The desire for fruitive activities, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, this politics speech, right? Again, missing the point. So, it's described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one has to be very careful in the process of devotional service to protect the bhakti lata on all four sides, nicely protected. Right? And if one sees some unwanted creepers or plants, take the time to pull them out so that the bhakti lata doesn't get affected. This Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing to Srila Rupa Goswami in this wonderful chapter, the 19th chapter of the Madhya Leela of the Chaitanya Charamrita. So I felt that this is an important aspect, and it does very nicely go along with this part of the Bhagavatam where Bharat Maharaj becomes bewildered. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, as soon as an intelligent devotee sees an unwanted creeper growing beside the original creeper, he must cut it down instantly. Then the real creeper, the bhakti lata, grows nicely, returns home back to Godhead, and seeks the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So one of the very important things in all of this that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again emphasizes, and Srila Prabhupada also emphasizes in the purports of this particular part of Chaitanya Charamrita, is that service to the spiritual master, right? Service to the spiritual master is a very, very important part of rendering devotional service. And one has to serve Krishna, but what Krishna recommends is that you serve his devotee, right? Tadvidi pranipatena pri prashnena sevaya uvidekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshanaha. So if you want to serve me, then serve my devotee. You know, how are we going to know what Krishna wants us to do? How do we know what Krishna wants us to do? We want to do what Krishna wants us to do, right? That's what we want to do. We want to do what Krishna wants us to do. But how do we know what Krishna wants us to do? So therefore, Krishna sends the spiritual master, and we can know what Krishna wants us to do because we have the spiritual master. He tells us, this is what you should do. And by doing that, then we take shelter of Krishna by taking shelter of Krishna's devotees. And if we don't take shelter of the spiritual master, then, you know, we're up to our own imagination, our own mind and senses, which are fallible and can mislead us. Right? But if we take shelter of Krishna through his devotee, through the medium of his devotee, then we can be assured of success. And so the first business of a devotee is to satisfy a spiritual master. And the spiritual master, his only business is to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Right? He's not interested in spreading his own glories. Right? Just like we see so many other movements. It's the Sri Sri Ravi Shankar movement. It's the Ramakrishna Mission movement, right? Whose glories are being spread by that movement, right? But we saw, when Srila Prabhupada preached, it became the Hare Krishna movement, right? You knew the Hare Krishnas. That's all you knew. Krishna, 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 Krishna. The Texas Krishnas, they call them, you know, the Texas. Right? Why? Because a pure devotee of the Lord, his business is to spread the glories of Krishna. But when the devotees came to the movement, they understood that Krishna's representative is pure representative, right? They understood and they wanted to serve him. And so by that desire, on the one hand, the spiritual master wanting to satisfy Krishna by spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, and the devotees trying to satisfy Krishna's pure devotee by serving him, that reciprocal arrangement caused two things to happen. The devotees to make advancement in devotional service and the Krishna consciousness movement to spread. A pure devotee has no other desire except for the pleasure of Krishna. He doesn't desire anything else. And he doesn't have any desire for any mundane success in any way. Right? When Srila Prabhupada built this temple, he wasn't thinking that, oh, if I build this temple, everyone will think I am great. I will get some pleasure from thinking, people thinking, oh, such a great Swamiji made a marble temple. No. Why he built this temple? For the pleasure of Krishna. Because he said, actually when he was fighting with Mr. Nair, he said, we didn't need to fight, we could have just went away. But because Krishna, because Radha Rasbihari had already come, I thought, if they go away like that, it will be a great insult for him. So therefore I fought. Not for his own aggrandizement, not for his own ego, but for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna's reputation. Right? And he promised Radha Rasbihari, if you just stay here, I'll make you a nice temple. Right? And he did that. In the mercy of Krishna. Right? So this is the mood of a pure devotee. Nothing for himself. Right? I remember Srila Prabhupada had one godbrother. His name was Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. And a very simple person. He only did kirtan. Right? He was there at Srila Prabhupada's sannyas initiation. He was Prabhupada's good friend. They are godbrothers. And when Srila Prabhupada was taking sannyas, he kept telling Akinchana Krishnadas, do kirtan, more kirtan, more kirtan. And he said, I could understand that the way he was so encouraging in kirtan, that he would be the leader of the Hare Krishna movement. Right? So sometimes Krishnadas would come to Mayapur and meet Prabhupada. Right? And devotees would try to touch his feet. He was Babaji, in Babaji Vesh. But he would, no, I'm nothing. No. He was very reluctant to have anybody glorify him. Very simple person. But he was totally absorbed in kirtan. Always chanting. And devotees used to like to sit with him and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He didn't have an accordion. He didn't have a harmonium. No. He had only kol, mridanga. But he could play that mridanga in such a way that all the devotees would dance. And dance and dance. Right? And when he started to chant slokas, he didn't give many lectures. But he would do kirtan. And sometimes before the kirtan, he would chant slokas. And he could go on chanting sloka after sloka after sloka for 30, 40 minutes. One after another about the glories of the holy name. And then he would do kirtan. Right? So, such devotees of the Lord, we are aspiring for their mercy so that we can become attached to devotional service, attached to the holy name of Krishna, attached to the form of Krishna, to render service, so that we don't become diverted by anything in the material world. And the diversions, again, are many. Here we see Bharat Maharaj became diverted by a deer. Well, there's lots of other things out there that can divert us. So we have to be careful. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Comments? Yes, Gokuleshwar Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, this was regarding, you mentioned Prabhupada is Trikal Darshan.
Trikal, yeah.
So, how do we identify or characterize a devotee as Trikaladarshi based on some disciple experience or events? How do we come to this conclusion?
Well, I have my practical experience, how Srila Prabhupada, when he started this temple, the devotees were living in Akash Ganga down in New Marine Lines, or Marine Lines. And you know, they wanted to be down there. They were making life members, so they would go out from the apartment, and it just seemed convenient for the preaching. But when Srila Prabhupada got the land, he wanted them to come here. But they were reluctant. They thought so far away. At that time, there wasn't hardly any development around here. It was all more or less just swamp. But Srila Prabhupada could see that one day it'll be right in the heart of everything. Trikalagya. Past, present, and future. And the same way in Bhubaneswar. They had a center there. The first time I went there in 1977, Gaura Govinda Maharaj was living in a hut. And I thought, what's he doing out here? There's nothing out here. Right? You couldn't even get a rickshaw to take you from the railway station to go out there because they would never get a ride back. But now look at it. And Srila Prabhupada encouraged them, you just stay here and chant. Everything will develop. Practical. No hocus pocus. No. Just very practical.
Okay, well, thank you.
It is said now that those who have got pious credit, they discover the path of devotional service, right?
If they're fortunate.
Yeah.
We can't eliminate the element of Bhagyavan. They may be pious, but they may not be that fortunate. So someone who has come to devotional service, the word Bhagyavan is very, very important. But anyway, go ahead.
But pious credits are not recognized in devotional service because it is like wet stool and dry stool.
The devotee of the Lord, they're not interested in pious, avoiding impious or obtaining pious credits, but having some sukriti, having some pious credits is helpful in being able to come to devotional service. If one has some piety, one may meet a devotee. And those persons who are very impious, they can't even tolerate talking to devotees. I don't have time. You know, Jawa the say, get a job, get away from me. Right? They have no pious credits. But if somebody has a little pious credit, they may be a little patient enough to give time to the devotee and hear something about devotional service. So in that way, they'd be able to take advantage of that association. But on the path of devotional service, we're not at all interested in, you know, obtaining pious credits or avoiding we want to only serve the lotus feet of Krishna. We want to satisfy the desires of Krishna. Then that way the devotee becomes very peaceful. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suriram sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richati. Because they know Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, because they know Krishna is the Lord and Master of everything and the enjoyer of everything, therefore they become shantim richati, they become peaceful.
Secondly, in case of a devotee who is not able to have devotee association of others, other devotee association, can Srila Prabhupada's books become sufficient substitute for that?
Yes, they can be. But in Srila Prabhupada's books, I mean, if you don't have any other choice, yes, you associate with Srila Prabhupada through his books. But if you read his books, again and again he says, find out the association of devotees. Stay in the association of the devotees. So sometimes we see devotees think, well, these devotees, they're just a headache. You know, I'm going somewhere. I'm going to go off and just, you know, read the books. Right? But no. Prabhupada wants us to associate with devotees. The Srimad Bhagavatam is understood in association with devotees. Right? If you don't have any other choice, yes. If you're in jail and you're surrounded by all kinds of criminals, what are you going to do? Associate by reading Prabhupada's books. But if you have an opportunity to live in the temple and to worship the deity, you'd be the greatest fool, number one, to give it up and go off somewhere just to read the books. Because it's such an opportunity. It's a very, very rare opportunity to serve the deity in the temple, to hear daily the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very rare. And it can't even be compared to pious credits. Pious credits don't even, you know, come even within the tip of the toe of the process of sadhana bhakti.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You are telling that Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami, those are having, they are always Ashanta. But I find sometimes doing devotional service also there is some dissatisfaction or anxieties or sometimes frustration. So is it that material or always is like, because Prabhupada says that we should take some anxiety for Krishna. So some anxiety is spiritual and this is material anxiety.
Yeah.
So when we are in anxiety, how we know that which we are?
I can just tell you what Srila Prabhupada said. Srila Prabhupada said that because we have the material body, along with the material body comes the anxiety. Because we have a material body, we're going to be in anxiety. It's when you're in anxiety for Krishna, you transfer the anxiety for Krishna. And then he said, just like me, I'm in anxiety. I'm in anxiety to protect the properties. I'm in anxiety how to present Krishna consciousness so people will take it. But it's for Krishna. It's Krishna's property. It's Krishna's philosophy and Krishna's living entities and how to get them to take it. So you're going to be in anxiety anyway. But the trick is to be in anxiety for Krishna. So if we find ourselves in anxiety, if it's for Krishna, no problem. We're making progress. But if it's not, then it's something else. It can be a diversion. So we have to, you know, devotional service is a self-analysis. We have to analyze. Why am I such anxiety? Is it for Krishna? If so, okay, fine. If it's not, now this kind of self-discerning analysis is very important. But when the problem comes in, is when I become so overwhelmed by material desires through offenses to the deities, to the devotees, and to the holy name, is that I can't differentiate what's for Krishna and what's not for Krishna. It looks like it's for Krishna, but actually it's not. And that's where Shastra, Sadhu, and Guru come in. If we don't have that kind of help, then we just miss the point. But that's why Association of Devotees is so important for us, because they can help us. And we can learn things from them, whether our anxiety is for Krishna or for something else. Any other questions? Yes, Rajbihari Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. You had explained about the perfection of devotional service. As it happens only till such time we completely obtain perfection. You have to be in the material world or we'll be attaining perfection various stages out of material world also.
What, can you repeat that?
See, up to the various stages of devotion, advancement has to happen only in the material world or will we, you have to complete everything before we go out of this material world?
Actually, in order to obtain perfection, you don't have to go anywhere. Iha yasya hela dasya karmana manasagira nakivapya pivastastu jivan mukta sa uchite. If our tongue, mind, words, vacha, mind, body, fully engaged in the service of Krishna, jivan mukta suche, that one in this very body becomes liberated. Right? It's not that we have to go anywhere. Right here, one can become fully perfected. Such a soul is very rare, but we saw that in the life of Srila Prabhupada, that he was fully engaged in the service of Krishna. His every moment was a service to Krishna, used as a service to Krishna. So now to come to that platform is not an easy thing. It takes years and years of practice and a desire. We kind of have, you know, we kind of have a desire, one foot in Krishna consciousness, one foot out of Krishna consciousness. That's kind of where our desires are. You know, Srila Prabhupada mentions that someone who's in the Krishna consciousness movement and at the same time wants to enjoy in the material world, they're in a very awkward situation. So that's kind of where we're at. We're in the process, we're in the shower, but we kind of want to be out of the shower at the same time. You know, we have a split personality, so to speak, you know. But staying in association with devotees, trying to push on this Krishna consciousness movement under the direction of a pure devotee, it causes us to stay on track. You know, we may be inching forward, but we're inching. We're going in the right direction. We're on the track. And giving up the association of devotees, going off on our own, then that's the derailment where it's very difficult to go forward then. Is that okay? Okay. Thank you very much. Gantra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Itai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Om.